Okay, thank you very much. I want to thank the organizers that give me the opportunity to talk about this new result. This joint work with Jim Colyander, University of Toronto, and Justin Holmer, University of California at Berkeley. In 25 minutes, I have to skip a lot of, I mean, this is a very well-known study problem, so I'm not going to say a lot about the need to study this problem. It is a coupled system, a Schrödinger and a wave. The U is complex valued and the wave is real valued. And this problem is well, as I said, is well known. It arises in plasma physics. Sufficiently regular solutions that we know that exist, they satisfy the conservation of mass and the conservation of Hamiltonian. So if you look at the Hamiltonian, this is, we combine conservation of mass and Hamiltonian, and we have an H1 a priori bound, depending on this sign. This quantity is doesn't have a sign, but obviously in lower dimensions, you can see easily by Sobolev embedding, we can control a priori the H1 bound. In higher dimensions, we need a smallness assumption. In 3, there is known results for very small data, etc., etc. I'm going to deal with Zaharov in one dimension. So we know that we can a priori bound the H1. So for this problem in particular, there are global H1 solutions. So there are global energy solutions. What is known about the local problem? There is a long history of local in time theory, but I'm going to just highlight the low regularity theory that I work in. So Jean Bourguin and Jim Colyander in 96 and Ginevra, Tsutsumi and Velo in 97, they proved local that the local in time solution exists. And the second group, so the result of Bourguin and Colyander is for 1, 2, and 3 dimensions. Ginevra, Tsutsumi and Velo generalize this result to all dimensions, and actually they obtain what I'm interested in, I'm going to show you, local well posedness for the Zaharov system for initial data, so when U naught is L2, which, and this is important because this is where we have the conservation of mass, and then the wave is H minus 1 over 2. And the recent result of one of my collaborators, Justin Holmer, shows that actually this local in time result is sharp. That means that using the spaces, we cannot, there are ill posedness, they have a lot of meanings. I can just say that the map fails to be C2, the map from data to solution. So it is well-studied problem, and so for a very small time, if we take the time, so if we have the initial data, we let the solution to evolve, we know that for small time we have a solution. What is known about global well posedness? I already said that if you combine 2 and 3, meaning the conservation of mass and conservation of energy, we can go from local to global. So that means H1 and L2 here, and that's obvious because an a priori control of the H1 norm in terms of the energy, that means that my local time, that usually in all these arguments, the local time depends on the norms of the initial data, if I have an a priori bound of my norm, then I can iterate this local result as many times as I want, and I can construct a global solution. Now, below that threshold, the energy threshold, what is known is Harm Pescher in 2001, he applied the low high frequency method of Jean Bourguin. Unfortunately, I don't have time to say more about this method, and he obtained global well posedness. So, of course, we want to go below 1, so he got global well posedness for k greater than 9 over 10, but s is 0. So in this case, k is here, so below H1, but the wave data are fixed in 0, and that's because of the method. Pescher improved this result by now using the I method, which is the method of almost conservation law. It's a different, so it's similar to Bourguin method, but we cut off with a smoother multiplier, and it gives sometimes better results. So he obtained now for 5 over 6, you notice that this is even better than 9 over 10, but also S now is K minus S, so actually it's 5 over 6, and then he went a little bit below L2. So this is the best result, and that was known up to our result. So by using this method that depend on pretty much take initial data and decompose this initial data in low and high frequencies, you evolve the low part, and then you see what happened in the difference equation. And so we didn't, our idea is a little bit different, and our idea was we want to prove a global well-poseness, actually the sharp global well-poseness, to this space. So L2 H minus 1 over 2. If you know a little bit about the I method, I can tell you that you don't expect using these methods to go down to the next conservation law, because you need an infinite decay of these almost conserved quantities, which is obviously which is impossible to prove. So we have to have a different method. So this is our first theorem. And because I will talk about Zakharov and Klein-Gordon, the hard part was the Zakharov, then the Klein-Gordon Schrödinger system for us was like an exercise, because you will see the difference. The Zakharov, remember, and so if I show the Zakharov again, so the Zakharov has the second nonlinearity is the Laplacian. In case of the Klein-Gordon, here we just have U naught, so we don't have the, so Klein-Gordon is a, so of course here we have the Klein-Gordon, but this is a much easier case. So the card is Zakharov. I should say, maybe, I mean, Zakharov, one other important thing is that if we consider here, we fix the union so that the speed is 1. If we take one, the speed of the wave, it will be 1 over S2 square. And you see, if I send this C to infinity, this will go away. And here I just recover the usual 1D Schrödinger equation, which we know global solution for L2. So our intuition was that we already know from numerical simulation, this is based on previous works, one of them was Sulem's work, but maybe Zakharov is a little bit better, but so far nobody, we didn't know. So we knew for the Schrödinger, and somehow we know that, so if the limit behaves like this, Zakharov maybe also has an L2 global solution. So that is the intuition behind it. And so this is our theorem. So the Zakharov system is globally well posed for data in L2H minus 1 over 2, and the solution has this estimate. Now, this is an exponential estimate, okay? Why this is exponential? Because our method of proof, usually when you apply the I method, and I should say that with the I method you get a global solution, but you get polynomial bounds for these solutions. In Bourguignon method, not only you get polynomial bounds, but you also you get that the nonlinear part is even smoother as in H1. This method, because we check when the local solutions just double and we do a counting argument, we will get just exponential bounds, but nevertheless the solution is globally well posed. Now, what is a nice thing, another nice thing apart from that we solve the problem, is that there are other generalizations of Zakharov that were previously unknown even for very smooth data. So, and I mean that in the following sense. So, take this Hamiltonian when I have signs. You see, all the previous results, I mean, the signs must be exactly, if you look at the energy, the signs of the energy must be positive in order to have this a priori H1 control. But if I take this system, so suppose that I take this Hamiltonian and I do this calculation, I'm going to end up with this system for parameters alpha, beta, and gamma. Now, you see, if we choose alpha, beta, minus 1, and gamma, minus 1, we have a Hamiltonian evolution problem. It's exactly the hard, but now it's minus nu. Now, because now we don't have the a priori control of the H1 norm, because previously unknown even for very smooth solution, if a global solution gives our method, because we use just the L2 conservation, it's we resolve also this case. And then my next problem will be the Klein-Gordon. Here what I said, that of course, the generalized Klein-Gordon, in the sense that we don't, our method doesn't recognize constants, but this is an easier nonlinearity, so we can treat Zakharov in one dimension, Klein-Gordon in 1, 2, 3 dimensions, and our method fails a little bit to prove 2D Zakharov. But this is because of the estimates. So this is the Hamiltonian of the Klein-Gordon Schrödinger. I'm going to skip the details because I want to show you the method pretty much for Zakharov, which is actually harder. Let me just say that L2, here we have a Klein-Gordon, so we have H1 is the energy space, so in particular we know local well-poseness due to pressure for L2, L2, and actually this is the result. So again, whatever is known for L2, L2 is also, whatever is known locally is also globally, and I gave this talk 4 days ago, maybe at Banff, and then they informed me that the Japanese researcher has a similar result as us, but for the Klein-Gordon, his method maybe takes a little bit better, he takes better results for this L2 goes a little bit below, but with his method, just an IMF, he cannot treat Zakharov. So global well poses very quickly for Klein-Gordon. So maybe very quickly, just to say that the global results again to the Klein-Gordon was due to Pesser and myself, and also I have to say here also I learned that Takafumi Akahori has a little bit better here than 7/10. All this means what? Means that I have the HH1, I have the H1H1 energy that tells me that I have global solution, but then this I method gives you a little bit below 7/10. Again, the goal to go to L2 is not gonna done by this I method. So we obtain again L2 global. What is the argument? So the argument, this is the outline of the method. So our method is a bit general, and then I'll show you examples that we can treat other systems. And so take an initial value problem. It is important for our method that this is independent of n. So remember, the heart of the nonlinearity is the Laplacian of u squared is independent of n, and that will be important because our method will be, our method is the following. We know that we have the conservation, so whenever I have a local solution, then because of the conservation, the time will be the same. But of course, there is an interaction between Schrödinger and wave, so I cannot control the wave. So our method is looking at the local estimates for the whole system and using the conservation of L2, and this is very important. We can control, we can count what is the time that the solution will advance before the wave doubles. And we count this time, we add everything together, and we'll see that we get a divergence series, and that's why the solution is globally well poised. So you see, because of this, you can invert this operator and solve n in terms of g of u, and then you plug everything in u, so you have a single equation. Of course, that means that, of course, I mean, this, the linear, these are just the linear solution of this problem, and of course, let's say in, we know that these are like a Sobolev spaces, and we know that is for the linear problem, we know everything, so that's an obvious identity. So what we want to do is we will use a fixed point argument, meaning that we will construct solution in these time intervals. Now, since we know the conservation law, this is L2 for us, if we iterate the local well-posedness argument, we will have solution on those time intervals, but we're going to have bounds unless this becomes very large. So why? Because this is a relevant norm. The L2, from L2 conservation, the Schrödinger norm remains always the same. So if we start, so we pretend that we start our argument when this becomes very, very large. So when this is much, much larger than u, then the local time is just this one. Of course, we can do that because otherwise the solution is global. Yes. So the growth is due to the nonlinear influence of u upon n through this term that we invert. So now it's important that if I have estimates for this operator here with some delta, and because this depends only on u, here I use the conservation. This is the conservation of L2, and I get something that is much, much smaller than this one. Okay? And then, so I start with initial data in this W space. My nonlinearity is much, much smaller than this initial data. Am I done? No. How many iterations can I run so that this smaller thing will be equivalent to this? If that happens, that means that I just double my initial data. Well, obviously, this over this. So that's the number of the iteration. And this is the size of the interval. So if you put together how many are all the iterations, it will be m times delta. If you do the calculations, this is what you get. And this part comes from the local estimates. The local estimates are very hard, but, and I cannot possibly show you these local estimates that use Bourguin spaces, but the condition here is that if this is positive and independent of this, I have a global solution. What is the condition? The condition is exactly this one. Actually, you see, we prove for one, this is a hard of zero. We cannot go, zero will give you exactly the exponential bounds. If this is much greater, will give you polynomial and how, but it's very hard to expect that this is much greater than zero. For Klein-Gordon, it's obvious, you can get 4 and 3/4, and if you check that condition, it gives you zero, so it's easier. For Zakharov, this scheme that I described you, which is a simplistic one, doesn't work, and that doesn't work because we have this that the beta and deltas come from the local theory. So that, and it's very hard to find delta and beta to satisfy this condition. So what idea is that the local theory that exists, which is basically due to Ginibre, Zuma, and Velo, let's see if we can get a little bit better local estimates and do a little trick to get a result. What was our trick? Our trick is instead of iterate our solution to these balls, we iterate to this kind of balls. And that gives you an advantage that if you are successful and prove estimates under these balls, then you extend a little bit your local time. So that means that delta is greater. On the other hand, we get that the number of the iteration is greater than the old one, so we have a chance if we take this condition with the new, so the prime ones, we get a better chance to meet this requirement. And actually, that's what happened. And we iterate our problem using this kind of spaces. Now, let me just say something, because I mean, if you know the spaces, it's obvious why we use them. If you don't know them, maybe you see that we introduce a complication. So these are Bourguignon introduced spaces in a series of paper in 93 to deal with a periodic problem. And notice that when, for example, take the Schrödinger equation, when you want to solve an L2, take the L2 critical solution, then usually because we have stricter estimates, so we have very nice dispersive estimates, we do all these things in mixed Lebesgue spaces. But if my problem, if I want to do something below L2, which is my result, I want to go L2 and H minus 1 over 2, Strieker estimate is not applicable. So Bourguignon introduces spaces for low regularity problems. You see, it's not surprising that this is the right space, because if you think about it, you take the linear Schrödinger, take the Fourier space-time Fourier transform. This is exactly supporting the parabola. So this supporting the parabola. So because what is the local argument? We perturb the linear solution to see how far we can go. This is pretty much the distance from this parabola. So this is exactly the right Schrödinger norm. This is the right wave norm. I define some norms. These are just the norms of the initial data. We have a lot of estimates that, if I'll go through, it will be boring for you. Maybe I'm just going to say, you see how, I mean, you have seen this many times, how we do the local arguments. Well, we know the linear solution. Then we have also the Duhamel term. So we write our differential equation as an integrable equation, as an integral operator, and we want to find the fixed point of this map. And let me just show the nonlinear estimates. So here is that these nonlinear estimates are very hard estimates, and this is due to Ginibre, Zuma, and Velo. This is very hard, although the conditions that they get were enough to prove our theorem. So we look at their proof, and we notice that actually we can improve and get this condition. So I can call this a nice and simple observation, because if it wasn't for Ginibre, Zuma, and Velo, we wouldn't make that observation. So that's why I call it also simple. So these are the two estimates that we get. These are estimates. These are the nonlinearity of the Schrödinger. These are the nonlinearity of the wave. These estimates, according to this plan, so according to this proof that I will show you, will play the biggest role. How many minutes do I have? 7 minutes, great. Okay, so I assume this estimate. I will write as I, so this is convolution, this is the Duhamel terms, okay? So I write my system as an integral formulation. What I want is a fixed point of this map. So I use a fixed point, Banach theorem that tells me that if I find a fixed point of this map, then this is exactly a unique solution that is inside my class. And what I should say is that this Bourguignon space also have the property that for any b greater than 1 over 2, my solution is always into the continuous solution. So it's a nice, this space has a lot of nice properties. So I have to find the fixed point. If I apply the nonlinear estimates, some of them I skip them. If I apply the nonlinear estimates, I bound my solution. This is the solution for the Schrödinger. That's why there's this S here. And here just the estimates that I have. This is the hard step. So these are the hard nonlinear estimates. From the second equation, we will have a similar thing. This is just a usual local in time argument. So what is the time that I have to pick in order my so that I find the fixed point for this map? These are four conditions. They look complicated, but they are not. if these four conditions are satisfied, I have this property. So up to a time t, which of course maybe it's a very local, so I don't know a priori, this doesn't prove of course that the solution is globally, this holds. Now remember that I told you that I will fix the time that this is much bigger, and this is the conservation law. So I'll take this time that is zero, so I'm going to immediately say that at that time, at the time n of capital T is my initial data, and this holds automatically. If that holds, if you look at this condition, this is automatically true. This is automatically true. This is also true. So the relevant condition is this. Now, because there are a lot of B's and C's in this talk, take all B, B1, C, C1 to be equal 1 over 3. It turns out for our proof that this is the only index that it works. Actually, we want to have this 1 over 3, and that's where we improve the Ginibro-Truman velocity. So if I take 1 over 3, I get T to the 1 over 2. So what is my time? So the local time that this will be successful is 1 over 2. So with this, this is just 1 over 2. So what is the time? For this time, that depends only on the wave, that's very important, I will have a local solution. Now, of course, I don't have global. What I know is that the Schrödinger part is okay, but then it interacts through the wave. So now I have to see how this interaction influences n, which, of course, I can solve immediately again by this integral equation. So I have to count. I have to see what is the capital T that this norm will double. If T is not sufficiently large time, then I maybe my solution, the solution is not global. So here again there are a lot of nonlinear estimates that I cannot show you. If I apply my nonlinear estimates, I have that this is less than initial data times a time times this norm. This is very important and comes from the L2 conservation. What is the times of the iteration? Well, so many iterations before this quantity doubles. What is the total time of advance? The total time of advance, of course, will be the number of the iteration times one iteration, which is capital T. And you see, because this T is exactly this, will give you this. What does it mean? It means that the total time of advance of this system, so that both of the initial to be double, is something that is always independent, is independent of this. This depends only on you, but remember that we have a conservation law. So I can apply this procedure again and again and get exactly my exponential bounds. So this is the trick, that this quantity, so the time that I go from initial data to double initial data is like one. So I can continue. For the Klein-Gordon Schrödinger, we did the same scheme, so I'm just going to say that in 1D, 2, 3, 1, 2, and 3D, for the Klein-Gordon, we get this, the L2, L2 global well-poisonous. In the time that I guess I have like 2 minutes, what I want to say is that what is the range of applicability of this method now to other systems? And why I want to insist on that? Because so far we know Bourgas method, I method to get global well-poisonous. This is another idea. We can even use a combination of this method with the I method and take results even below L2. But let me just show you an example of a system that we can treat. This is, we call it Schrödinger IRE here because, I mean, for the expert, it's missing the N and X, which is the full Schrödinger KdV, because our method cannot solve the Schrödinger KdV because it is important, as I explained, it isn't linear to be independent of N. So, but we think this work in progress, actually, with Justin Holmer, that using a version of the I method, we can also treat the full Schrödinger KdV. What is important is that with our method, there are some global results, but with our method, we can prove global well-poisonous, again, L2 and H minus 1 over 2 for the Schrödinger IRE system. And another example is the Schrödinger Benjamin Ono system. Again, all these are well studied, so I'm skipping a lot of references. Pons and collaborators have done for both systems pretty much the local theory and then passed it to the global. So, for example, again, Pons has all these local results for this system. This is important to be, so for some results, this is important to be the in absolute value less than one, and that's because of the spaces that we use. And again, for any knee that the absolute value is not 1, we can get, using our scheme, global well poseness at L2H minus 1 over 2. And that's good because, again, only R is independent of N. There is a problem with the XSB spaces when this is plus or minus 1. We think that introducing other spaces, and again, this work in progress, we can also prove for the for any N real the same global well poseness results. And I think I will stop here. Thank you very much for your attention.